The following program is a production of Holy Spirit Radio.
Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. We're glad to be back with you this day. We have a very interesting program, as I mentioned last month, that we will follow up with a topic that we introduced a month ago, and we have a very interesting guest joining us here today. But as we usually do, I would like Betty to open with a prayer.
Welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a reading from 2 Timothy. Remain faithful to what you have learned and believed, because you know from whom you've learned it, and that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are capable of giving you wisdom for salvation. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for refutation, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that one who belongs to God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent whether it's convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teachings. The word of the Lord.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're here to, before we start our program, I'd like to make a few announcements about some upcoming programs. First, there is going to be a program that is sponsored by the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association and the South Jersey Guild of the Catholic Medical Association and the Christian Medical and Dental Association. This particular program is going to be held Saturday, June the 9th at the Union League in Philadelphia, and it's titled Spirituality and Medicine, the Medical, Psychological, and Spiritual Aspects of Addictions. They have an all-star lineup of speakers that are available, and you can go to cathmed.org to find out more information and register for anyone who may be interested. More in the vein of natural family planning, there will be a natural family planning gathering day for health professionals. This is called Building a Culture of Life Through Natural Family Planning, and it's going to be held at the Marquette University, sponsored by the Marquette University College of Nursing Institute for Natural Family Planning and the Milwaukee Guild of the Catholic Medical Association. So you can see that our Catholic Medical Associations are alive and well and very active in many of our cities. And this gathering will be for a one-day presentation, and there will be some debates. They will have present the president-elect of the National Catholic Medical Association, and there's some really great topics. And you can go to a website for Marquette University Institute of College of Nursing to find out more information if those of you are interested. It's not too long of a drive from here to Milwaukee, but that's where the Catholic Medical Association or the Marquette University is. And then finally, I'll announce this a few times over the next couple of months, but there the National Catholic Medical Association is having their annual convention in Atlanta, Georgia on Wednesday, October the 3rd, and it's dedicated to Our Lady of the Rosary and John Paul II, and its program is based on theology of the body and women's health care. So I'll be announcing more about that in the near future. But without any further ado, I'd like Betty to introduce our special guest, and then I'll talk a little bit about what our program's going to concern today.
And I'd like to introduce our guest. It's my honor to introduce our guest who comes to us from St. Ignatius Parish. And he went to Holy Ghost Prep High School, Bentley College, has his MBA in pharmaceutical management and finance. He's an instructor of natural family planning with his wife, Jennifer, for the Philadelphia Archdiocese. He's also husband to Jen and father to Ella Rose and a new baby in September. And I'd like to introduce now Greg Ruppersberger. Welcome,
hey guys.
Greg.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
It's our honor for you to be here.
I appreciate it.
Well, as we engaged upon our program last month, we talked about natural family planning being one of the best-kept secrets of the Catholic Church, and we engaged in a conversation that is just the beginning of what we hope will become a framework that will emanate from this program and from this radio station out through the airwaves and down through the bowels of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia so that we can introduce some planning procedures that we have to try to market natural family planning. And at our conference from the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network in March the 3rd of this year, Greg presented a business plan for marketing natural family planning. And so we're not going to reiterate a lot of the issues and problems that we discussed last month, because the business plan actually addresses a lot of those issues. And so we're going to try to do an overview. So this will be a little bit more business oriented, a little bit more, a little slightly different angle than just talking about natural family planning. But Betty and I and the PNFPN really feel that this is extremely important in trying to promote natural family planning and get it together. So we'll start out a little bit by first letting you know that our lines are open at 215-345-1570. And this is a live call-in radio program. So I want any of our tens of thousands of listeners out there to feel free to call in at any time and ask any questions about anything that has to do with natural family planning and marketing, or give us maybe even their comments or their suggestions on how we can market this, because we are accumulating information. So again, that's 215-345-1570. Greg, tell us a little bit about what the challenge is with respect to how we can get this message out, and give us a little bit of an overview or some background as far as what a business plan actually is.
You know, I was pretty excited about a year ago when I was approached to develop or work on a business plan for natural family planning. Mostly because I am an instructor, and I feel that it is heavily underpromoted, particularly in our archdiocese. But I think even more so because the competition is thinking about it and looking at marketing their products and their ideals using this type of planning and this type of tools. And it's something that I think if we think about it this way and approach natural family planning from somewhat of a business mindset, that we can be much more successful in leveraging the tools and the resources we have. And so, you know, developing a business plan is something that organizations and companies do on a regular basis. It helps them get a sense of what's going on in the marketplace. And it really is a take a step back. Where are we? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? And it's something that we haven't done systematically, at least in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, around natural family planning.
Well, Greg, what's your vision for NFP?
You know, that's one of the core components of you know, marketing. What is your vision for your product? And when you look at natural family planning, you kind of have to take a step back and say, well, who do we aspire to be? When people say natural family planning, who do we as an archdiocese and as promoters of NFP want NFP to become? And it's really forward-looking and a long-term view. A good example I gave at the conference was Starbucks and what their brand vision is. Their brand vision for their organization is to be third place. They want to be the third place you go outside of home and school or work. And really, they design everything they do around that. They have a very comfortable environment with nice soft music, comfy couches. They offer wireless internet at their places. They really want you to stick around so that you'll buy more $4 cups of coffee. And that's the type of mindset that I think we need to have with NFP. And so I drafted a vision, and again, we've been working together with some folks in the Archdiocese to amend this and refine it. But it's to be the family planning method of choice among married Catholics in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, resulting in strengthened marriages, loving families, and increased faith in God. And I think that really gets to the heart of who we want to be and who the customer we want to get to and kind of who we want to be long term.
I do want to throw in here a little bit of a disclaimer to our audience because they may not be familiar with the entire program, but we are not ultimately limiting this to just married Catholics, but we needed to, I guess, focus in on a particular group, and I'll get you to talk about that in just a minute, but we know that there are a lot of people who are not Catholics who use natural family planning. We've actually taught them in our classes. We know that there are a lot of Christians who use natural family planning as their family planning method of choice. We know that there are people of many other faiths who also use natural family planning. And so we're not trying to eliminate them from the market, but we are trying to come at this from a point of view or a focus that will allow us to be able to get our arms around what it is that we need to do. We can't go after the entire market of everybody that's out there. Ultimately, we do. But right now, we just, you know, starting out with a business plan, I suppose that we do have to narrow this market. So why don't you speak for a few minutes about market definition and how you would define that market and how you broke it down, because I think that's probably the most fascinating part of the whole business plan.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, obviously you would love to market to everyone, whatever you're selling, but the reality is with limited resources, you have to focus on certain customer groups. And in business, we call that customer segmentation. And ideally, you would focus where you'd get the biggest bang for your buck or where you'd hit the biggest target audience or generate the biggest response that you want to generate. And so that's why I propose in the business plan that coming from the Archdiocese, we focus on married Catholics because that is the ideal place and probably the largest place where it should be used and will be used, even though we may have other types of couples that will use natural family planning. But when you really narrow it down and take a look at the numbers, and, you know, I am a numbers guy, but, you know, this kind of gets to how big the market is. It's one of the first steps in a business plan. And just using the Archdiocese's own statistics, there are 1.5 million Catholics in the Archdiocese. That's baptized Catholics. Of those, using Census Bureau data, there's about 35% between the ages of 20 and 44. Now, I limited that to those couples or those people of childbearing age. You have, and by that I mean you may have some younger folks that, you know, are teenagers that are of childbearing age, but, you know, ideally they'll be chaste until they're married and won't be using natural family planning. That 35% gets you to about a little over 500,000 people. 49% of those, or about half, are married, and that gets you to about 257,000 people. And you divide that by two, and there is, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, 128,000 married Catholic couples of childbearing age that are eligible or in our target market for using NFP.
And that's a lot of people.
Right. And I would love for anyone out there that might have a question or a comment or a suggestion to us on how we could approach this, please give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570.
Now, Greg, a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned competition, and in your example, you mentioned Starbucks, and we're not here to do commercials for coffee companies, but we know that the competition for Starbucks, obviously, is Dunkin' Donuts, Wawa, and a lot of other, you know, marketplaces that sell coffee and try to market their coffee in different ways. Who would you define as the competition, just for the benefit of our audience, because we all, the three of us sitting here, know who our competition is, but the competition that we're competing against in with natural family planning and trying to get our message out.
Well, there's really a couple of ways to look at this, but if you look at it at the most base level, our direct competition, if you look at NFP, it is a family planning method. You know, a lot of people will say, yeah, it's a lifestyle, it's a culture, it's a relationship. But really, when you break it down, it is a family planning method. So the direct competition for NFP are those other methods of family planning. And so when you look at contraceptive methods like hormonal methods, the pill, sterilization, the barrier methods like condoms, the IUD, those are really the direct competitors of NFP. And right now, on a national level, NFP has about a 2% market share. That means 2% of the nation is who uses family planning methods are only using NFP. And that is a pretty low market share. But I will say, you know, when I did look at the data, I was pretty excited about that because we have 2% without any proactive marketing, and all of our competition is spending billions of dollars marketing their methods of family planning, and yet we still have a 2% market share. So actually, I think that's pretty good, but I think it can be a lot better. Now, when you take that a step further, and really what we're up against, you have to look at the indirect competition. So you look at things like the culture. So you have the entertainment industry. You have the pharmaceutical industry in general. You have ignorance, the majority of the medical community that looks down upon NFP. You have general apathy, unenlightened parents bringing up kids who, you know, put their kids on the pill when they have their first period. You have abortion, and just in general, all that kind of comes together in this culture of death, which is something that we're up against. And I think, you know, while the numbers are somewhat daunting, I do look at it with some hope because, you know, we have some really enlightened people. We have some smart people that can help us with some concerted efforts increase that market share over time.
When you were speaking about customer segmentation and the number of married Catholics that are in the Archdiocese, how would you break that down even further so that we can put together a program, because you already mentioned that we have very limited resources. We don't have a lot of money, and we don't have, a big subcultural organization and backup. And, we have to develop that, or maybe someday we'll be there. But how would you break down those customers further to be able to access who we would have the best shot at selling our product to?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, we have 100, like I said, we have 128,000 married Catholic couples in the Archdiocese of childbearing age, but not all of them go to church. Not all of them are believers. Not all of them are open to receiving NFP. And so, you know, when you take another slice at it and you segment the customers even further, you can really break it down into four buckets. If you look at the level of knowledge that these couples may have about NFP, and how strong their faith is, they really break down into these groups. You clearly have, we'll start with those who use NFP. There's about 3,000 of the 128,000 that are currently using NFP. You got them already. They're already your customer. Then you have those who have a lot of knowledge about it, but, you know, really don't have a strong faith. And so they're what I call the doubters. Then you have another large group, which I call the ostriches. These are the folks that have, I would say, a low faith and a low knowledge of NFP. You know, they may go to church occasionally or may not go to church at all. They may not know anything about NFP. They have their head in the sand. They're just not aware, and they don't know and they don't want to know. And I size that group, which is a pretty substantial size, both the ostriches and the doubters, to be about 94,000 couples.
Wow, that many.
Yeah, it's a lot. So of the 128,000, there's a big chunk that really our message, I think, initially would fall upon deaf ears with traditional marketing messages without getting into their hearts in other ways. But really, there's the final group that I call the unknowing believers. This is a pretty large group. There's 31,000 couples that are in this unknowing believer group. These are the folks that have a pretty strong faith, and the way I got to this number was those that are church-going Catholics of the 128,000 but are currently not using NFP. Now, they fall within a spectrum within this group. Some have a stronger faith than others, but these are the folks that are attending Mass, their kids go to Catholic schools, their kids go to CCD, and they're currently not using NFP. And this is what I consider to be the sweet spot of who we can target.
So the groups that we have direct access to would be what you're referring to. And so I think we've spoken on this program before, and I know Betty and I bring it up quite frequently, that we're looking, and as you know, you have been involved along with Betty and I in addressing this topic to pre-Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we have a pre-Cana program in the Archdiocese, which is in the process of being revised. And in fact, I would like to just do an aside at this moment to mention that in our most recent Life Cycles newsletter available in the spring edition, that there is a new marriage prep program that's based on theology of the body that's starting to begin in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And it is called God's Plan for a Joy-Filled Marriage. And it's a supplemental marriage prep program that's written by Christopher West based on John Paul II's revolutionary theology of the body. And Christopher's book, Good News About Sex and Marriage, and Christopher's been on this program, and we've talked about theology of the body. And that's put out by Ascension Press. And so one of the groups that we really have to target, and I think if my memory serves me correctly, there are over 5,000 Catholic marriages every year in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and every one of those couples are mandated to go through a pre-Cana program. So we have a ready-made audience besides the people who go to church. Another area that is relatively important is RCIA, and there, I don't know how many people actually come into the church every year in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, but naturally when you're teaching people who are coming into the Catholic Church, you should be teaching them natural family planning as being the only accepted method of family planning according to Catholic Church teaching, and that should be put out to all of those couples. And so you have those couples, and then there are probably some other areas, maybe pre-Jordan with baptisms and mm-hmm. people. There are probably just a lot of other areas where the church has programs already set up, maybe through Catholic Charities, Catholic Social Services, different crisis pregnancy centers that are supported by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So there's a whole I think, of Catholics who are coming into contact with information from the Archdiocese where this type of marketing could go out to without really spending a lot of money and you know, have a good coordinated effort toward it.
And also, I think in this culture, maybe even high school seniors or Catholic colleges could have at least addressed this as a teaching of the church, and prepare people before they even get to the pre-Cana, you know, that they've heard this, that they understand what it's about, and understand that this is what the church teaches, and, you know, this is a method of family planning for couples, and especially not, I think it's very difficult and kind of sad that people don't even hear or know about this until they get to pre-Cana. And only those special pre-Cana programs or parishes that want to bring it up and spend some time with it can really be a little convincing even to these couples. Some parishes just, you know, skip over it because they don't want to get into it, or they don't have people that with great strength in their parish that practice NFP in their pre-Cana instruction.
I think you bring up a really good point because, you know, I think the pre-Cana classroom is a microcosm of everything that we're talking about today. And I've experienced this myself speaking to pre-Cana groups. So within the pre-Cana couples, you may have 10 in a classroom. You may only have one or two couples that are even open, or maybe even only one person within the couple that is open to hearing this. And then beyond that, if this is the first time they're hearing it, you know, how receptive will they be? And what is the follow-up? Because the minute they walk out the door, all the competition that we talked about earlier is bombarding them with messages in the other direction. And so I think part of this is not only finding those people within that group, getting them the right message, but continually following up with them with the right message so that that can move them along and change some of that mindset that, that has been ingrained in them since birth.
Wasn't there something that came up about that's in marketing about how many times you have to say something and how many seconds you have to say it, that you have somebody's attention when you're speaking to audiences?
Yeah, when I was talking at the conference, you know, I work in the pharmaceutical industry, and the example that I used is that usually on average, the general rule of thumb that we use is that messages must be heard at least six times to achieve baseline knowledge. And by knowledge, I mean they can actually take the message and relay it to somebody else. That's how much they have to know it. But they have to hear it at least six times. The challenge with NFP is that, unfortunately, you're not starting from zero. You know, it's not like they're learning something new for the first time. They've actually learned the wrong information going in the wrong direction. They have misconceptions about what NFP is. And, you know, I gave the example at the conference that on a similar radio program on NPR a couple of months ago, they were talking about the Catholic Conference of Bishops, and they talked about NFP, and they called it also known as the rhythm method. And that is one of the paradigms or one of the misconceptions that we have to overcome. So going beyond the sixth message of baseline knowledge, I think you need to even deliver the messages stronger in more places from more credible sources, even more, to convince people that, no, NFP is not rhythm. This is what it is. This is what it can do, and here are the benefits.
So we've talked a little bit about, as far as positioning, that we've pretty much chosen the target audience. We've talked a little bit about identifying the competition. I think that we've spoken many times before about what the benefits are as far as natural family planning is concerned. And we've talked about our unknowing believers, and we have to identify the paradigm shift. Where do we go from there? Do we have any leverage points? Do we have any places that we can use to our advantage to get our message out? What are the hooks, I guess?
The short answer is yes. And I think part of it is getting some organization within all the folks that are engaged in this area. We have a lot of resources. We have a lot of knowledge and talent within the Archdiocese and within even our own networks that I think we can leverage to get the message out. I think the first thing you need to start with is a common language. And so at the conference, I proposed a positioning statement, or what I also call the elevator speech. Everybody, if asked, should know what is NFP. If somebody asks you in the elevator, you should be able to give it to them by the time you get to the 12th floor, and everybody should be giving the same answer. There shouldn't be confusion about what it is. And so what I proposed is it's a family planning method. So what is it? That uses a woman's natural signs of fertility to effectively postpone or achieve a pregnancy that promotes physical, spiritual, and marital health. And I think that really encapsulates what NFP is, regardless of the method that we're talking about. It's more the lifestyle and the culture, why people should want to learn more about it. And so I think once we get that common language down, it's really, you know, how do we get the message out? And so we talked about a couple of the methods already, you know, getting our instructor couples to speak at pre-Cana classes, and we have a lot of that going on, and there's some good organization and common message that's happening with that. We really need to get invited to more pre-Cana classes. RCIA, I think, is another opportunity where you have a captive audience for a long period of time, and many of those Catholics, those new Catholics, are even more fervent in their faith than cradle Catholics. And, you know, some of our our best instructors and people and users and promoters of NFP are new converts to the faith. And so I think there's a couple of ways that we can specifically do it. The two I just referenced are what I called speaker programs. Another way is potentially direct-to-consumer advertising, you know, to pull in some of the pharmaceutical industry lingo. And that could be billboards, advertisements in newspapers, things like that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the program. We have key opinion leaders. And this is something that I think we really need to leverage and we don't get enough of from our clergy. We have every week a captive audience after the gospel.
Right.
And so how often do we hear a homily on contraception, abortion, the culture of life, the pro-life method message, NFP? Now, I'm not saying that you can deliver the entire message in a homily, but I think you can plant the seeds, especially over time. And we have an army of key opinion leaders that are out saying multiple masses every week and every day. That have an opportunity that those opportunities just keep go by the wayside, and I think we really need to increase that.
And I just want to remind our listeners that we will take your call at 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you if you have an opinion or a question, a comment. Give us a call. Again, 215-345-1570.
I'd also like to extend an invitation. As you can see, that as this marketing program evolves and manifests itself, we do need some laborers for the vineyard. And that would include witness couples. And there are a lot of you out there who are already using NFP that nobody knows about because you're not comfortable discussing it. You're not comfortable talking about it. We need you to step forward, and we need you to make yourself available within your own parish to be a witness couple. You don't have to be an instructor. You don't have to take the program and learn how to teach NFP, because that's not something for some people. But getting up in front of a group of young people and giving witness is absolutely an excellent way of being able to help spread this message. Also, we do need instructor couples. Right now, we have roughly 8 instructor couples in the symptothermal method. One of the things that we plan on doing is trying to incorporate the instructors in all the other methods, which includes Billings Ovulation, Family of the Americas, Couple-to-Couple League, Creighton. I want to try to get the Family Life Office in the Archdiocese to bring all these couples together to see how many couples we actually have. We might have 25 or 30 instructor couples out there, but we need one for at least every cluster in the parish, if not a teaching couple in every parish. We have 266 parishes. There should be at least one couple who is familiar with teaching natural family planning available to every parish, considering the number of parishes and the number of couples that are in parishes. So all of this is at a ground roots, grassroots organizational level, and we need to be able to do that. And so please contact the radio station through their email at 1570am@holyspirit.org, or call the station and give your name or contact us in some way through pnfpn.org, the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network, so that we can bring together all of these resources that when we're ready to put this business plan into action, and we're hoping that by the end of the year we'll be ready to put this business plan into action, but we're still in the process of developing it and evolving it.
And also, we need a lot of help to do this. You know, when we do start to promote this, we need help from people to answer the phone, to schedule couples for classes and things like that. So, you know, if you're out there and you care about this NFP, you know, and you're available, you know, we want to hear from you. We want to get your name and number, have you on the list, so that when we do implement this, we have people.
Greg, can you speak? There are two examples of two very well-known product competitors, one in the computer industry and one in the fast food industry. And you spoke about the breakdown of Microsoft and Apple, and also I think it was
Chick-fil-A. Yeah, both of those real world.
Excuse me for just a second. I think we have a telephone call. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Welcome to NFP for Life.
Hi, this is Mary from Newtown.
Hi, how are you, Mary?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
I just want to, first of all, commend Greg as a young person for being so involved in this, in trying to get the marketing going for it. I have a question addressed to his comment in regards to the young people, I guess. I'm wondering, as a mom of teenagers myself, why isn't this even brought into the high schools? They're bombarded by Planned Parenthood messages all over in the music industry, in the TV industry, in their communities. And I guess I'm just wondering, as a Catholic and as a Catholic parent, why this isn't brought into the high schools, as a subject, and taught as a subject, I guess, more or less to young women, as a way of, getting to know their fertility, as a woman to rejoice in it, and as a church to promote it, that when they go out into the culture, the college culture, where they're bombarded by so many other evils, for lack of a better word, why can't we get this marketed to the high schools? I guess that's my question. Is there a way that we can get it marketed at the high school level?
You know,
in high schools.
Mary, thank you for your question. I think this is an even more complex problem than marketing NFP to those that are receptive to the message. I think that it all begins in the home and parents who are comfortable talking about sexuality with their kids, because I think even teaching sex in high school, and as somebody relatively close to high school, I wouldn't say.
You're older than you think.
I'm older than I think.
A lot closer than Betty and I.
That's for sure. But I will say that we didn't get a lot of it in high school, and I went to a Catholic high school. It wasn't an area of comfort, and I think part of that is because they're not comfortable. That comfort needs to come from the home and from parents who are comfortable talking to their kids about their sexuality and what it is and what it means and what being chaste is. And then, if kids are learning about sex from MTV and from all these other areas, and they're bringing that to school and applying that to the science behind what they're learning, the biology that they're learning behind it, it's not a shocker that, that's the mindset that they have when they leave high school. And so for me, from my perspective, and as a new parent of a small child, I think it rests in being comfortable with your children, teaching them at home.
But isn't it? But I guess I look at it as a woman, having found it, that it's such a refreshing way, A, to know my fertility, to postpone my fertility, and it's really just knowing my body as a woman. I guess what I don't understand as a church, though, why we are not comfortable with that. I mean, it doesn't seem to be a comfort zone, yet it's such a natural thing that God has done for us.
I think, Mary, the main problem from my perspective, having gone out and spoken to various high school classes and meeting resistance from parents, is the parents really there are basically two groups of parents. Parents who think that their children need to get the information and therefore are willing to allow schools and educational systems to give some information, but the parents want to know what the information is. And then a whole other group of parents who think that information means that they're going to get the license to go ahead and engage in the activity. And so what I hear is a lot of parents saying, I don't want you teaching my sophomore 14, 15-year-old student about her fertility. She'll figure it out soon enough as it is, and I'm not going to talk to her about it, and I don't want you to talk to her about it in high school because I don't give you my permission. So I don't get invited into the high schools. I mean, there are a couple. I've been over Villa. I've been to Holy Ghost. I've been to Archbishop Wood. But there is an archdiocesan program that is certified with certified instructors called the Teen Star Program. We did a program on this about a year and a half ago with Sister Nora Dennehy that is approved by the Diocesan Development Program as a fully integrated teenage sexuality program, teaching the values of the Catholic Church within the curriculum. And there are only three archdiocesan high schools in the city of Philadelphia, to my knowledge, who have availed themselves of the program because it's voluntary. So we got a lot of work to do. I think Greg was on the right wavelength as far as, you know, it coming from the home and coming from the parents. We have some education of the parents to do. I think the three of us sitting here in this booth agree with you totally that it actually should start in the sixth and seventh grade. And next week, Betty and I are going to be doing the eighth grade sex program talk in two separate days with the eighth graders who are 12 years old at St. Ignatius and introducing natural family planning topics to them under the teachings of the sixth and ninth commandment. And I think it just needs to be incorporated in, and as Greg mentioned, said over and over and over again as part of the message and not eliminated. And so we agree with you, and that's why we're trying to develop this program. So we really appreciate your calling and asking the question, because it is a question. Our plan is to go to the Cardinal and discuss this entire business plan with him, and that will be one of the questions that will be brought up. And, you know, you have to crawl.
Because we are fighting Planned Parenthood as much as parents, and I, you know, as a mother of a large family, and want, I would love to live in a little bubble, but the reality of the message that my kids are getting are a whole different message that has to be combated.
Yep, I know.
No matter where they are. Thank you so much for all that you guys do, all three of you.
Thanks.
Well, Mary, I just have one comment. I just want to say that I understand your frustration. If you send your children to a public school, they're learning about contraception. They're learning condoms that go down to the nurse's office. And as Catholic schools go, we should be as strong and implementing natural family planning because it's a teaching of the church.
Well, that's
and we need more strength. Yeah. We need more strength in that. We need more Catholic teachers and to want to promote this, and principals, and teach this in our Catholic schools. I agree with you.
We need to go back to prayer. Can never hurt without prayer, and then, you know, with God's help. Thank
you
so much.
Thanks
so
much. Take care. Have a good weekend.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hi, we have another caller, Joe from Doylestown.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Joe from Doylestown. How are you? Welcome to NFP for Life.
Well, thank you. I was listening to your program on the way home, and I thought I needed to call.
Great.
I think I'm part of the doubter group that you were talking about. And you know, it's funny, I'm listening to it, and I'm like rooting for you. Yeah, get through to the doubters, you know. my wife and I were both 39, approaching 40 quickly, and we have two young girls already. And, you know, we've just recently gotten back into the Catholic Church in the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years or so. And this is one of the things, you know, that we've been discussing more and more of lately. We do want to, you know, live by the church's teachings, because every time we don't, we can really feel it. You know, we can tell something's not right. So I guess I'm looking for some help. You know, what do us doubters do? How do we get there?
Well, part of the answer to the problem is that you have to have, you started out by saying that you're coming back into the church, so your faith is getting stronger and stronger, and you have to totally rely and depend that the founder of the church that you believe in, that from which the teachings emanate, knows what is good for you and good for your wife and good for your children and good for your family, and he has been coming from that aspect of love since he has come into this world and died for us. So without getting sounding too preachy, that's where it starts, and prayer and faith are your basis. Beyond that, you need to go out and get the information, and we can provide you with that access to those resources and that information. There are over 1,600 websites on the internet for natural family planning. We have a very strong Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network organization. We have teachers. We'll come out to your parish and teach. We can do one-on-one. We can do it to groups. You need to hear the science. You need to see the scientific background behind it, and then you need to trust. You know, if you want to look at it as a physician, if you want to look at it competitively, every other method, when you're talking about family planning, has failure rates, every one of them. Whether you have a tubal ligation, whether you have a vasectomy, whether you're using the pill, it doesn't matter. There is nothing out there that is 100% effective. You look at the statistics behind natural family planning being 98 to 99% effective. the same effectiveness rate as IUDs and hormonal contraception. So on the one hand, you have the contraceptive mentality against which the church teaches as being an evil, and then you have natural family planning in favor of which the church teaches is a good and for the good of the couple. And the couple has to make a choice. What the culture and the society is telling you is, well, just go over here and buy these pills, or go over here and use this product, or go over here and have this surgery, or go over here and have this. And it is successful for some people. But what are they doing to themselves? What are they doing to their relationship? What are they doing to their sexual intimacy? This is all theology of the body stuff. And then on the other hand, you look at the divorce rate amongst people that use natural family planning, and you look at their families, and you look at their marriages, and you look at their the strength in their faith. They are getting the same percentages of success, and they are managing their families. And remember that in the very beginning, as my wife always says all the time, and I'll let her say it. Go ahead and say it.
Sex makes babies.
The purpose of your sexuality... The purpose of your sexuality is procreation of children and the intimacy and the bonding and the closeness of the couple. And when you walk into that intimate relationship with your partner and you're giving yourself 100% unconditionally, you are exemplifying the giving of Christ's crucifixion and death on the cross. You are manifesting that. And when you are withholding your fertility, you are not giving 100%. You're cheating your spouse and you're cheating yourself in the very act of intimacy that you're committing yourselves and re-pronouncing your marriage vows. So,
but also, Joe, it's understanding your fertility. That's really basic. It's so simple to understand your fertility. Most people do not know that.
Joe, to your specific question about what to do next, you know, as somebody who, and I would say relatively recently, kind of got into NFP, been married 5 years, and we learned just before we got married. And at the time, I wasn't, you know, as strong in my faith as I am now. I think there's three things specifically you can do. One is to go home and talk to your wife tonight about, I mean, something made you pick up the phone today, and I think that's point one. But I think if you can get some information, I think a great start would be Theology of the Body for Beginners from Christopher West or something like that,
okay.
Which could help you. It's a very simple book, but it's it really gives you the foundation and the reasoning behind why NFP is a really good choice. And finally, I think you should sign up for a class. It's a couple hours of your life. It's not a formal commitment. We have some great instructors in the Archdiocese. And you can find out more information at
PNFPN.org.
I always get messed up. Philadelphia Natural Family Planning League .org.
Yeah.
Network. But I think if you do a couple of those things and learn a little bit more information, you know, you sign up for a class and spend a couple hours. It's not a lot of time. It's really something that you it's a journey, and you'll explore it. It not only strengthens your marriage from my personal perspective, it deepens your faith as a couple and as an individual, and brings you closer to God. And I think it's just a great opportunity to learn more information.
Well, thank you,
and thank you for calling, and thank you for your interest, and we will pray for you and your increasing and growing faith, and hope that you will access some of this information and be touched by it the way we have been touched by it, and we hope that it will revolutionize and change your life and your marriage. So take care and have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, two very interesting calls with great questions, and you can see that part of the problem is not only getting the information out at the appropriate level and the appropriate time, but getting people who are not completely convinced, because remember, we all, including everyone in this room, grew up in this culture of death, and so we have accepted hands down, the information. And I can tell you that I am in a practice of seven physicians, and every one of us learned the same thing in our residencies and in medical school, and there was no mention at all at any place in time about natural family planning. So we have, you know, the doubters in the church, we have the entire medical community, we have the pharmaceutical community. Can you imagine what would happen to the pharmaceutical community if hormonal contraception went out of existence tomorrow? How many billions of dollars would be lost, and how it would affect our economy? People would make the argument just from the point of view of the economy, without even arguing the rights or the wrongs, that it would damage the pharmaceutical industry because they have built so much of their foundation on the profits that they derive from these products, which are being marketed to couples and especially to women. But I can tell you that it is not good for women's health care. So before the phone calls, Greg, you were talking, you were going to talk a little bit about the paradigm shift, and I think Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. I brought together a little lighthearted example to kind of demonstrate the challenge at the conference when I spoke about the business plan that we face in promoting NFP. And really, as I discussed earlier, we have to change the thinking first. We're not starting from a baseline of zero. We have a lot of misconception about what NFP is, and part of this is the legacy of the rhythm method, which is, over 50 years old, which is not what NFP is. And so the example that I gave is Chick-fil-A, and those, who are out there that have seen some of the billboards and have gone through the drive-through, Chick-fil-A is now serving chicken for breakfast. And, when I polled the audience in the room, at the conference, very few people raised their hand when they said they eat chicken for breakfast. But, Chick-fil-A is looking to change the way people think about what they eat for breakfast. And that's just a simple example of what we need to do in changing the paradigm. If we promote it and promote it effectively, we will change the way people think about natural family planning. They won't scoff at it. They won't doubt it. They won't look negatively upon it. And when they get the right information, they will internalize it and realize what a great tool it is for marriages and for couples.
We're coming to a close almost, and we only have about 4 minutes left in our program. So, Greg, I just want to ask you, what would you recommend? What's your recommendations for NFP, short-term or long-term?
In the short term, I think we really need to leverage the resources we have. And as I mentioned earlier, I think if we take the opportunity to get the word out using what I call speaker programs, but getting witness couples to speak at pre-Cana classes, doing the same thing with RCIA and some other venues where you have a captive audience, some of those messages will fall on the ears of those unknowing believers, and we will make some progress. And I think if we all deliver a consistent message, that would be a great thing. The second is key opinion leaders. And this gets down to the clergy getting up and speaking at Mass at least once a year during Pro-Life Week. It gets down to physicians from the Catholic Medical Association not being afraid to deliver that message to their patients. And finally, I would say direct-to-consumer advertising. Of the three, only direct-to-consumer requires budget, and that's something that we're going to be talking to the Archbishop about in the future.
So our plan is to coordinate all of these ideas and all of these efforts, put them together in a powerful presentation, get a small core group of people to schedule an appointment with Cardinal Regali and appropriate associates and members of the Family Life Office, try to put together a coordinated program for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and provide what we will do from Holy Spirit Radio, NFP for Life, and the PNFPN is provide the organizational and the workers, the laborers in the vineyard, and use the leadership of the Archdiocese. So we would all ask you to pray for this campaign. And keep it in your prayer. It sounds like maybe something that you're not interested in, but it is what the church teaches. And so even if you're outside childbearing age and you don't need NFP or you don't care about NFP, there's a lot of people that don't like to eat chicken either, but they're still going to hear the ads for Chick-fil-A.
And there's a lot of people that are learning to drive at 37, as Father Fernandez
that's
said.
That's right. So we all have the opportunity, and we'd like to close with this little reading from Romans 12:2. So, Betty, if you'll read this.
Do not conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect.
Thank you very much, and have a great weekend, and God bless everyone. And thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. NFP for Life is produced by Holy Spirit Radio and can be heard on the third Friday of every month at 4 p.m. and encores the following Sunday at 2 p.m.